What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Hillions of Wrestling podcast. Oh, I've missed you guys so much. I know I've not done a podcast in a while. The last one we did was the WrestleMania predictions. I wanted to take a little bit of time off, like to focus on school there, that couple weeks there for finals and everything. I wanted to focus on my grades and everything, make sure I did. And I did do well. Passed my finals for my audio introduction, intro to audio, and got an AMR class. So we're rocking and rolling there so far. So one semester down and six, seven more to go. Yeah, and then I was going to start back up. Probably I was going to start back up and doing the podcast again in the middle of May, right when school started up again for the summer. But on Mother's Day, my grandmother, Margaret Rollins, she passed away. Unexpected. She wasn't feeling well during the week. And then my sister and my mom took her up to the emergency room, found out she had blockage in her bowels. So they were going to do surgery. I got to talk to her that night. She seemed like her normal joke and she joked a little bit. I even joked with her and said, hey, we're gonna matching scars now. And she laughed and stuff. And, I told her I loved her and she said she loved me too. And I'm glad we got a chance to talk then, cause that would be the last time I talked to her, because my sister called me in the morning, said they're rushing her to ICU. Stuff's not looking that good. They're going to try to do everything they can. They're going to have to give her emergency surgery. So I was on my way home. And then I called when I was in Columbus. And my uncle got on the phone and told me she had passed away. They tried to do everything they could. But she might not be here with us in physical form, but I know she's with us in spirit. It's different. It's very different. My family came up and they came up last week, Memorial Day weekend. And it was just like her not being there physically, but we knew that she was there in spirit, and they almost didn't come out, but they wanted to come out just to honor her. And she would want them to come out. And enjoy Memorial Day weekend here. And glad they came out. It was something the family needed. My family, my sister, my mom, my aunt, my niece Zari, my cousin Garrett. We needed that. My sister, while they were out here, they made a builder. She went to Build-A-Bear and made Zari a bear. My niece, they made her a bear. They put a voicemail of my grandmother in the bear. And now Jazari can play my grandma's voicemail in the bear anytime. And it's really cool. And I'm glad my sister did that for her. Just a thing to help help Jazari, which is her great grandmother, help her remember her and everything. I actually got a couple voicemails from her I have still saved on my phone. I have one for my birthday, which I'm probably never going to delete. I'll probably play it on my birthday. But probably played it on my birthday as well too, but I know it's gonna be tough. But I know, again, what makes me very knowing that she was very proud of me. She, all her friends at the funeral and the viewing said how proud she was of me and how much she loved me. And I knew she loved me. And last time we talked on that Saturday, so it makes me little at peace knowing that I knew she was proud of me and she loved me. And I'm gonna continue making her proud because I know she's watching. I got a guardian angel up there, and I'm gonna continue making her proud with school, work, and with my podcast. She got to listen to the podcast last year also. She got to listen a little bit of it. We were on our way down to Myrtle Beach last year, and she got to listen to the podcast. So that was really cool. And I know she got a chance to hear what I'm doing now. And today's podcast is definitely going to be dedicated to her today. So definitely going to be dedicating the podcast to my grandmother. I love you and I miss you. What I'm going to be talking about today is the NXT TakeOver 25. I might dip and dabble a little bit into AEW. You know what? Let's pause on the NXT right now. We're going to get into that. I got a top 25 list also for NXT. I got a little top 25 for top 25 matches. My favorite matches. Not a Dave Meltzer list. Not a going in Raw list. Not anyone. It's my favorite matches. So some of these matches people might not agree with. Some people might be like, oh man, that match should be a little bit higher. That might be your opinion, but not my opinion. And then we'll go into prediction for Taker. But I want to talk real quick about AEW. AEW last weekend had their Double or Nothing show. And it's pretty good. I didn't get a chance to watch the whole show yet. Again, my family was up last weekend. I got a chance. We were sitting down at a restaurant. And I got a chance to watch the Cody and Dusty, Cody and Dustin match. And that was really good. Meltzer gave it 5 stars, which I think it could have been a little bit higher. It was just, I would say that match and Gargano and Cole are probably the two front-running matches this year for Match of the Year in wrestling this year. So, yeah, that match was good. I got a chance to go back and watch the women's match, the Fatal 4-Way, which became Fatal 4-Way with Nyla Rose, Britt Baker, which Britt Baker's from Pittsburgh. You know I rep anything that is black and gold or from Pittsburgh. Except for Elias. Nah, I support Elias too. He's probably on the bottom low part, but Britt Baker is one of my favorite women wrestlers right now. I love Kylie Rae, Smiley Kylie, Nyla Rose, the Beast, and then Awesome Kong came back. Miss Welfare Queen herself from Glow. So that's pretty cool. And I guess she did sign to AEW. So I guess there's talks she might be going wrestling a little bit too. So that's really cool too. That should be doing Glow and maybe doing AEW also as well. Excuse me. So yeah, I watched that match. I watched the Bucks. Watched a little bit of the Bucks and Pentagon and Rey Fénix. That was a really good match. And then I watched Jericho and got a chance to watch. I watched the Battle Royale, the Casino Royale, where Adam Hangman Page won. And then I watched Jericho and, Omega, which Omega lost to Jericho, and Jericho and Hangman Page will be taking on each other for the AEW World Title at All Out Chicago. I am hoping I'm going to get the chance to go to that one. I'm going to try to see what I can do. I'm going to try to be on all my devices, if possible, if I can be, to try to get tickets. I might just see when tickets go on sale, and I might take a half day that day and sit in front of my computer and see what I can get there. Even if not, man, still go up that weekend, go to StarCast 3, maybe try to get some tickets off of eBay. Not eBay, StubHub. Do people still get tickets off of eBay? Do people still get stuff? I don't even know. That'd be kind of like, I don't know. I remember that's when I first used to buy all my tickets for like Steeler games and stuff was off of eBay. Meeting people off of eBay and getting tickets and stuff, hoping that they were real. Because that was always a scary thing. But never had a problem with that. So, yeah, see what happens there with that. Get a chance to go up to Chicago. I've never been to Chicago. It's not technically in Chicago. It's outskirts of Chicago. It's like Perry says, I'm going to Cincinnati. I'm going to Kings Island. I'm going to Cincinnati. No, you're going to Mason because Kings Island's a Mason. So it's kind of like the same thing there. So, excuse me. So hopefully we can score some tickets and get to go to that show, seeing that title match. But the whole big thing, was Jon Moxley, aka formerly known as Dean Ambrose, real name John Goodman, came to Double or Nothing, All Elite. He's officially with All Elite. All Elite Wrestling. He beat up Jericho. Jericho had that look on his face like, what are you doing here? Kind of like what Kevin Owens did when Jericho came back at the Greatest Royal Rumble. Beat up Kenny Omega and then cut a promo saying that anybody tries to get in his way or AEW's way, he's going to pay the price. He's not officially announcing the Monday Night Wars, but they're coming. He even went on Jericho's podcast and even said how the past 8 years he was miserable. He wasn't happy being there. And talked about how creative was and how, like, it was just a nightmare trying to get anything over or anything like that. And trying to get the wrestler who he thought he could be there. And everybody called it a bear. He was burying WWE. To a T, maybe. But he didn't go all into streams. He did say how grateful was. He made a ton of money, he said, when he was there. He met his wife there. But he just said, like, hey, WWE needs to get better. Which we all know WWE needs to get better. It does. That's also another reason why I haven't got a chance to do podcasts. Because Raw and SmackDown have been boring. There's been nothing to talk about. Yeah, Kofi won the title. That was the biggest thing. Becky already lost her belt already to Bayley, but I mean, she lost to Charlotte, I'm sorry. Then Charlotte lost it to Bayley, but Steph Rollins has become the most, is so boring as the Universal Champion, it's ridiculous. Wrestlers are not on all the time, and now they made a 24/7 belt, aka the hardcore title, basically. And that's been entertaining. As much as everybody's shitting on the belt, which the belt is terrible, it looks like they went to Things to Remember and made a play and put it on a green belt. But the concept has been really good. Drake Maverick has been the MVP of this. How he's doing the wanted posters, and they even had a little thing when R-Truth won the belt back off of Elias, which Elias took it from him on SmackDown, on 205 Live, they kind of intertwined that, so that was pretty cool, too, that they showed that as well. Jake, he goes, excuse me, and ran off chasing after R-Truth, so that was pretty cool. They better give him the belt at one point. I hope they do, but yeah, but nothing else has been going on. Brock Lesnar turning the Money in the Bank briefcase that he snuck in and won. he turned that into a briefcase, which, again, a little entertaining. Something different out of the box there. Shows Brock's range. Thought it was funny on Monday how he did not know he had a full year to cash in the briefcase. So I thought that was kind of funny also as well. We sometimes think Brock does not watch Monday Night, watch Raw, or watch the program, so that was kind of funny to see also as well. But, and then Sammy mentioning AEW, that was just kind of weird. Like, a lot of people were saying, oh, they gotta be in bed together now, AEW and WWE. No, Sammy, it is what it is. Vince might have told Sammy to say that, because think about this, that's gonna give AEW more eyes. People are like, what's AEW? People are going to Google it. People went on their phones probably that don't really watch Project. What's AEW? Google hit. Oh, it's another wrestling promotion. It's coming out in the fall. People are going to start watching it. So people are like, oh, cool. This is a different type of wrestling. Let's see what WWE's doing that's going to be different. Maybe the concept, planting the seeds in there to maybe boost their ratings up also as well there. That could be one thing. Or they just, Sammy just said it and Vince didn't know anything about it, which would be extremely shocking. Because nothing, like Dean Ambrose said in that interview, passes Vince. So it's either Vince told him, let's do that, or Sammy went against the grain. And I feel if Sammy went against the grain, all hell would broke loose. But WWE got to step their game up. The main roster has to step their game up. They have to step their game up. This is plain and simple. Because AEW is coming in hot. They got they don't have a talented roster like WWE. WWE has the best roster that I have ever seen me watching wrestling. This is what, with them having Stone Cold, The Rock, Triple H, this is the most talented name a collection of wrestlers. They have a guy to create a faction that's known worldwide. They have a wrestler that's known as one of the greatest wrestlers right now on the planet, AJ Styles. They have Roman Reigns. As much as you hate him and don't like his wrestling character, he is worldly popular, and he's well known also as well. Then you have people like Ricochet, Becky Lynch. You're gonna have Ronda probably come back. She's shown a video on WWE that she's been training at her house in a ring, so she's probably gonna be coming back here very soon. Still got Bayley. Sasha's on the back burner. She had a meeting with Vince. Reports are saying that she had a meeting with Vince a couple weeks ago. So Vince McMahon. So we'll see where that's gonna go. I pitched something just to my buddies. I was telling them last night that they should let Sasha sit out, because everybody's like, "Oh, Sasha's gonna sit on, go to AEW." Yeah, in 4 years when her contract's over. Because I think she signed like a four or five year deal. So she should just come back, like Dean said in the podcast, the Jericho podcast. He's wrote it out. And every time a shill mentions, he gets his little small royalty check. So Sasha should do that. Just ride it out. But I feel they should do not bring her back until the Rumble. Yeah, everybody's saying that's a long time. But I would have Sasha go and do indie spots. Have her go do indie spots. Maybe have her go pop up on and Evolve. Or have her pop up at House of Glory. Have her do those things. Making it feel like, hey, have her pop up there a little bit maybe. Play it into an angle. Maybe you did get her. Maybe you did release her. Or you're letting her do other things right now as a suspension kind of a way. And then she comes back to Rumble. She wins it. And then you can have her challenge Bayley. And you can finally have that Bayley-Sasha match. That big, meaningful match we've been waiting for since probably Brooklyn. Since their 2 out of 3 falls match. We've been waiting for it. You teased us with us. We can finally get that match at WrestleMania. Which, in my mind, I think it would be bigger than the triple threat match this year. Because the story you can tell with that match would be unbelievable. And then you can also then have Becky versus Ronda, the singles match. And you have two big women's matches right there for WrestleMania next year. Huge. Boom. Book it. But yeah, I think AEW is gonna be exciting. I'm real excited. I thought what I saw from the show was really good. JR's commentary was from time to time, but still exciting to hear him. Excuse me, still exciting to hear him on commentary. It wasn't the perfect show. I seen people going, "This is the best wrestling show ever." No, the music wasn't loud enough for me. I don't know if the quality was like that in the MGM Grand, but the sound wasn't as good. You really couldn't hear the music over. I couldn't hear the music or anything over the PA or anything like that. Couple quality things, couple botches, refs botching stuff, bells ringing early. It wasn't a perfect show, but it was a damn good show for their first one out the gate. So, and I think they said they're up to almost 100,000 buys, pay-per-view buys, which is really good also as well. So it's going in the right direction. They have a couple shows coming up here. Moxley's already booked for 2 shows, one in Dayton and one in Dayton that's tied to a video game. Daytona, that's tied to a video game convention, and then they have the fall for the troops, for the soldiers' troops, or for the fallen, I think. Brawl for the Fallen, I guess. I think that's what it's called in Jacksonville. I don't think he's advertised for that one, but I know he's advertised for the one in Daytona. Not sure if he's that one, but he'll probably be at that one. But Cody's and Dustin are going to team up the rest of Bucks at the one in Jacksonville. So that's going to be pretty cool to see also as well. So we'll see. I'm really excited. And hopefully it turns out well. And hopefully I can get these tickets to All Out too. I mean, All Out. Hopefully. Fingers crossed. So let's talk about tonight's Some Takeover tonight. 25. It's kind of weird. It's like on its own. And it really didn't get the pop. I mean, hey, this is 25. This is a big deal. And it's in Connecticut. Bridgeport, Connecticut. You would think like they would try to have this into a big, big place. I would laugh today to try to take this bitch to Hoyta Vegas. They should have done it there or have it in Cali. Somewhere big. A lot of eyes on it. But they're going to have it in Connecticut. Guess it's close to headquarters, I guess, also as well. Or I'm surprised they just didn't do it in Full Sail. But I guess they wanted to get a lot more people there too. Take it over to Orlando. Have it in Orlando, have it right in the Orlando's basketball stadium court. They ain't doing nothing right now. but yeah, so I mean it's gonna be exciting to see tonight. I'm gonna go through my top 25 before I get in my predictions. My top 25 favorite NXT matches of all time that I have. I'm gonna run through the 25 through 11. Might touch a little base on them a little bit. 25, I have Tyson Kidd versus Adrian Neville from the first TakeOver. That was a really fun match. Actually, I started going back watching a little bit of it again. But, man, Tyson Kidd, man, talk about someone getting his career robbed from him. Man, he could have been something special. I was a big fan of Tyson Kidd. And he never complained. They put him in stuff with tag teams, sent him back down to NXT. And I really feel like he was going to take it to the next level, then got injured. But for that time, man, he got to showcase what he does. And he's doing a good job right now for helping produce SmackDown and everything. So, and usually SmackDown's a better show than Raw 9 out of 10 times. So, 24, I have American Alpha taking on a Revival. Man, talk about this sad, sad, sad thing right there. American Alpha, man, it could have been one of the best tag teams. If you want to call them Steiner Brothers 2.0, if you wanted to call them whatever you wanted to call them, man, they would have been big. But, you know, Vince hasn't, again, they have WWE, the machine. They saw Jason Jordan. They think they could have made money. Jason Jordan probably might not have got hurt. He probably would have been with Chad Gable still, wrestling a tag team. But he's another one, Jason Jordan, injured with the whole what if. Now, the thing with Jason Jordan is, like, he's still under contract. He might leave. Like, he might get that second opinion, try to get a second opinion and try to go to AEW or try to go in Indies, make a name for himself, try to come back that way. But you never know. But that match, and in her Revival, we don't need to say no more about that. this is them take over Dallas. what they're doing with them, oh man, just really sad. But they were one of the best tag teams down there in NXT. 23, I got Amber Moon versus Asuka from Brooklyn, NXT Brooklyn 3. Very fun matches when Asuka won. This is where you got to see kind of Asuka's, like, hillish side in a way. Doing whatever it costs to win to keep the title. Which I really wish they would continue to play on. But I think they probably would have. I wish they would maybe bring her back as a heel. Maybe she turns on Kairi down the road, maybe. That would be pretty cool to see. Kind of like have them have Asuka turn on Kairi. Pure jealousy or something. And we get a heel Asuka. maybe. So that might be pretty cool there too. But yeah, her and Ember Moon, they put on a damn good match at Brooklyn 3. 22, I got Matt Riddle versus Velveteen Dream. Matt Riddle did a lot of crazy stuff in that match with that suplex off the middle rope, that belly to back suplex off the middle rope. That was just insane. Undisputed Era versus War Raiders, I have 21. 20, Bayley versus Sasha versus Charlotte versus Becky at NXT Rival. Man, that was a fun match. That was a really, really, really fun match. Finn Balor versus Kevin Owens. This match does not get much talk about. And that's very sad because of the match that happened before that. And it never happens in a women's match. This is in Brooklyn. I think this is Brooklyn 2. I think this is Brooklyn 2. This happened. Yeah, this is a Brooklyn 2 because Bayley and Sasha was Brooklyn 2, I think. Was it Brooklyn 2? No, Brooklyn 1. This is the original Brooklyn match. This is the original TakeOver Brooklyn. Yeah. Yeah. Match got shadowed by Bayley and Sasha, which we'll talk about them a little bit later. That match got really shadowed because of that match. But it was a really good ladder match. It just really, again, it's sad going through this and seeing like stars like Tyler Breeze, Kevin Owens, Finn Balor, The Revival, Bayley, Sasha, Ember Moon, Asuka. How big stars they were on NXT and then they can't get over in the main roster. What is the hiccup? What is missing? What is that? What is missing from there? Why can't it convert? Like, if they're popular in one, like, if they're popular in NXT, why? Is, like, Vince doesn't like it because they're already over? Is that, like, the problem? Vince doesn't like it because they're not over? I just don't understand it. It just blows my mind. Adam Cole versus Ricochet. This one was, I think, NXT. Man, NXT Brooklyn, man, has some fire matches. I think this one was at NXT Brooklyn 3? 4? Hold on. No, it wasn't at 3. Yeah, they weren't there yet. Maybe it was 4? Was it 4? Hold on. Yeah, I think it was 4. Yeah, it was. It was NXT TakeOver 4 at Brooklyn. Man, that card's really good too. Jeez. But yeah, that was a really good match there. It's when Ricochet did that like little moonsault off the middle ropes, kind of like Shelton Benjamin did when I'm Cole Khan with that super kick via Shawn Michaels and Shelton Benjamin back in the day. Johnny Gargano versus Aleister Black. That name you're not gonna hear. You're not gonna hear that name no more. Johnny Gargano. Just kidding. You're probably gonna hear him a lot more on this list. He's Mr. Takeover himself. That match, the storytelling in that match was so good. The second War Games, I have at 16, with Ricochet and Pete Dunne teaming up with War Raiders. At that time, were called War Raiders. versus the Undisputed Era. Very good. I wanted to put it higher, but I put the original above it. And then I had to figure there was other matches I thought that was better and exciting than that one. 14, I had the Undisputed Era versus Oney Larkin and Danny Burch. This was a fun tag team match. Didn't expect anything from this tag team match at all. Didn't expect anything at all from this tag team match. I thought it was just going to be like, oh, just a regular match. But, man, it was probably one of my favorite matches on that card. I think that was from, I want to say that was from Brooklyn, too. Was that? No, hold on. Where's that from? I want to say that was Phoenix. Was that Phoenix? No, it wasn't Phoenix. I want to say that one was... looking on my laptop here. Was that a 4? Yeah, the Mustache Mountain, and we're at 4. Maybe it was Chicago. Yeah, I think it was Chicago. Yeah, it was Chicago. Yeah, it was Chicago. That was at Chicago. Man, that was a fun tag team match also as well. Number 13 had Walter versus Pete Dunne for the UK title in NXT New York over WrestleMania weekend this past year. First time getting to see Walter on the WWE like big card there, and he won the UK title in that match. I'm really a little bit behind on NXT UK. Might binge watch that after TakeOver tonight. Maybe. Who knows? Maybe I might watch some UK a little bit after TakeOver tonight. Bobby Roode at number 12 at Bobby Roode versus Shinsuke Nakamura in Orlando. Shinsuke Nakamura and Bobby Roode. Two other names. Bobby Roode is one of the best heels in NXT, and Shinsuke Nakamura was over so for, and where are they now? And number 11, I have the the first of, yeah, the first of, let me sure. Oh, skipped one, sorry. Skipped one. 15, I have Tommaso Ciampa versus Gargano, last standing match. Then I had Undisputed Era versus Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch. I thought it was a better match. I thought it was better. Their last standing match, it was like the street fight. Which, so I have that match at 15. 14 is Undisputed Era versus Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch. 13 is Walter versus Pete Dunne. 12 is Bobby Roode versus Shinsuke Nakamura from Orlando. And then 11 is Tommaso Ciampa versus Johnny Gargano, Chicago street fight. So that was my top. That was 25 to 11. So let's get into this top 10 of my favorite matches in NXT TakeOver history. Number 10, Aleister Black versus Velveteen Dream, NXT War Games. Man. This was a damn good match. I mean, just everything leading up to the match was just so good. With Velveteen Dream saying that the famous quote, "Say my name. Say my name." hearing him say that and everything, to have him say my name to Aleister Black. Then Aleister Black in the match saying Velveteen Dream name, finally saying his name. This put Velveteen Dream on the map. This made everybody know, hey, Velveteen Dream's here. He's serious. And so it's good that this match really helped take Velveteen Dream. And it also helped take Aleister Black to a next level also as well, too. So it was really good for both of them. Number 9, I have the North American title ladder match from NXT, New Orleans. TakeOver New Orleans. I was so sad I didn't go to TakeOver. I look back. I'm glad I went to the RH show, because I got to see Cody and Omega wrestle, which was such a big match. It was such a good match. I really enjoyed that match a lot. And I would have been really mad if I missed that match, because Cody's one of my favorite wrestlers. Cody Rhodes is... been my favorite wrestler. I've been supporting Cody Rhodes since the Stardust days and him in WWE. But yeah, I'm glad man, it was so tough. It was tough for going to those shows like that. But this ladder match was insane. Adam Cole ended up winning the North American title that weekend. So that was just a big showcase. I mean, you had EC3 in it. You had Killian Danes, Lars Sullivan, Ricochet, Velveteen Dream again. Man, who's who? Killian Day, he's going to NXT UK now. Lars is on the main roster. Ricochet is on the main roster. EC3 is back in catering, just hanging out. So sad. And Adam Cole's competing for the title tonight. So, a lot of big names are in that match. Number 8, I have DIY versus the AOP, Authors of Pain. Another team disappeared out of nowhere. I think one of them's hurt. I think Razor, one of them's hurt. I don't know which one's hurt. But, yeah, another team disappeared. They took on DIY. Altar Pain ended up winning this match, but the match was so good, fast pace. But the significance, why I put this match here, the significance was it was a house show. Where actually, me and my friends went to in Northern Kentucky where Tomas Ciampa tore his ACL. And I think the plan was they was going to turn on Johnny Gargano no matter injury or not. I think that was going to happen. Which I'm glad. I'm not glad he got hurt. Let me not say it that way. The injury helped out in the storyline by just dragging out this. Made it even better. It helped out the storyline. Him being injured. Don't want to ever wish injury on anybody. But him being away. So far away from Ciampa. Ciampa being so far away from Gargano for such a long time, then him finally coming back in January, and then started this long rivalry. Yeah. And that's what they should do with Bayley and Sasha. That's what they should do more. Vince needs to think that way. Okay, this person's away. Sasha's away right now. Play it up. Play it to your advantage. Ronda's away right now. Play it to your advantage. You haven't seen this person in a while? Play it to their advantage. Again, I don't understand why there's such a extreme disconnect. That's like in minor league baseball. A player that's hitting 450 or hitting 350 comes up to them AAA and it's only hitting a buck. I get it. Stuff's changed differently. But that player should at least be a decent hitter coming up to the big leagues. There shouldn't be that big of a drop-off. That you're going to forget about this player. And I know stuff does happen, but... But anyway. I have that match number 8. Number 7, this is the first TakeOvers War Games in Houston, where it was Sanity versus Undisputed Era versus Roderick Strong and AOP. I like this one better because I like the 3 teams. I just enjoyed the 3 teams better than the 2 teams. I know everybody liked everybody who was in that second War Games. This one was so cool. It's a lot of action, a lot of like high risk moves. This was Undisputed Era's first big win. This is one of their Adam Cole's big win before I think this. Yeah, this is going into him becoming the North American champion. So this is one of his first big signature wins. So yeah, so I had that at 7. Number 6, man, these next 6, I probably changed a bunch. I probably went back and forth changing, where I was going to put these matches. Number 6, Bayley versus Sasha from NXT Brooklyn, the first one. And I was saying, this match overshadowed the main event. This put women wrestling on the map for WWE. This was probably one of the best women's wrestling matches in WWE history. I still like it better than Becky and Charlotte because this was a wrestling match. They didn't need to have a last woman standing match. This was an awesome wrestling match. The story they told in this is Bayley going to finally overcome everything and win this title. And just the end also, having the horsewoman there, because they're the center point of this all, of this women's revolution. Damn Abella, damn Ronda Rousey. There's none of those. Like, those 4 girls, it all started in NXT rivalry, and I feel like them 4 should fight for a title. Maybe them 4 should fight for the women's title. Maybe that should have been the main event this year. The story you could have told there. But I get it. Ron is going to put more eyes and more butts in the seats. Get it. But man, this match, Bayley and Sasha, was damn good. was really damn good. And I put it at number 6. I wanted to put it higher, but the next 5, I mean, these matches were really good. Johnny Gargano, number 5, Johnny Gargano. You're going to hear this name a couple times, a little bit more here. Johnny Gargano versus Tommaso Ciampa, non-sanctioned from New Orleans. Man, this match was so good. Again, the ladder match and this title match, I mean, this non-sanctioned match, made me think, like, damn, I missed that. I can't believe I missed that. Damn. But this match, the storytelling in this match, the crush, how they used it, and just the emotion of Johnny Gargano able to come back to NXT, then him to start his mission becoming the NXT champion. I'm telling you what, Ciampa and Gargano did some of the best story works in a rivalry that WWE has put on in a very long time. Probably dating back to maybe, there hasn't been a story told like this. Probably a while. WWE comes close on the main roster, but it dwindles and it does just fades out. I don't know, man. It's just like, we always go back to that. Don't know why it's so different up there. But the storytelling they told in this was just so great. And then just the reaction that Dr. Johnny won and Candice coming out celebrating him was really good also as well. Number 4, Sami Zayn versus Shinsuke Nakamura. NXT Dallas. My goodness. Me and my buddy Keith were standing for this match. It was probably one of my favorite NXT matches before the other three happened. That, like, this match was just insane. And again, when Nakamura came out, this is the first time I've ever seen Shinsuke Nakamura wrestle. I wasn't really big into New Japan. I flipped on a YouTube highlight here and there of him. I'm like, okay, cool. He came out, and I'm like, dude, this dude's a fucking rock star. What the hell did WWE just get their hands on? And then the crowd was so amped for this match. And the back and forth. And at one point, I'm like, damn, Sami Zayn's going to beat this dude in his debut. Ain't this a bitch? But, man, just the match was so great. And Sami Zayn, as much as what he's doing right now in the main roster, can go. This man can go. We saw it in the triple threat match on SmackDown. Saw it against Seth Rollins on Monday night this past week. The few moments of wrestling they showed on Monday Night Raw. But yeah, this man can go. I'm going to try to wrap down the next number 3. Pete Dunne versus... We still got to get into predictions here. Pete Dunne versus Tyler Bate for the NXT UK title match. Man, great match here. Man, this match was match of the year, I think. I think it was WWE's match of the year. This is from NXT Chicago. The first one there. Number 2. I've talked about this match many a times. Again, this was probably my favorite match of all time until this other match just happened. NXT. John Gargano versus Andrade Cien Almas. Man, just great match there. The pace and the excitement in that match. And then number 1, of course, just happened in New York. Johnny Gargano taking on Adam Cole. 2 out of 3 falls. Just the storytelling. We all knew Johnny was going to win, but the way they told it, maybe they're like, man, Johnny, maybe he'll lose again. This is insane. But that's the way they told it, the emotions, and they made Super Johnny. They had him seen out, kicking out of everything. But everybody got mad. They're like, oh, that was outlandish, and da-da-da-da-da. It really didn't happen. Shouldn't happen like that. It's pro wrestling for you. Probably after one of them super kicks, Johnny Gargano's probably not getting up. Cole hit in the sweet spot. But the story Tony has told, Johnny is a fighter and he fought to the end to win the NXT title. Which leads us to NXT TakeOver 25 tonight. 5 matches on the card. Let's get into them. First match will probably kick off. They'll probably kick off, in my mind, they'll probably kick off that ladder match. NXT tag team ladder match. The War Raiders. I'm sorry. Mom called them War Raiders. So I still call them War Raiders. The Viking. Was it the Viking Raiders? I don't know. But anyway, they dropped the titles on a couple weeks ago on NXT. Now William Regal is now having a Fatal 4-Way ladder match for the titles. You have the Forgotten Sons, you have the Street Profits, you have Undisputed Era, and you have Oney Larkin and Danny Burch. This might be, man, this match might bump some matches off this list on top 10 right now. I'm going with the Street Profits to win this match. I think Street Profits is going to deserve this. It was Montez Ford's birthday yesterday. Man, they got to win tonight. That's going to be a party if they win these titles. So I'm going to go with the Street Profits. It's going to be a damn good match. Next match for the NXT Women's title. Shayna Baszler taking on taking on Io Shirai. Man, as much as I want to go to Io Shirai, I can't. I think they should let Shayna Baszler keep this belt for a whole year and show how dominant she is. If you want to create somebody that's dominant as Asuka, you have to continue doing what you got to continue doing with Shayna Baszler. You have to have Shayna Baszler keep his title. Unless, like, what's the purpose? Then, because you're not going to call up to the main roster right now. Because you're waiting for Ronda to come back. So, have her beat Io this first time. And then we can come back to Toronto. And then that's when they say Ronda might come back. Then she can then drop the title. And maybe you have it as a ladder match. Where she doesn't get beat. And then in her match and the next takeover in Chicago. I think, yeah, it's in Chicago. You can have her then get beat then. Whoever wins it then. But, yeah, it's not the time to have Shayna Baszler drop that title. I got Shayna Baszler retaining her title over Io Shirai. Next, Matt Riddle taking on Roderick Strong. This could be a very good match. I'm glad they're getting Roddy back to his single push again. Having him do some single matches here. I like to see him maybe go after that North American title next here. This was a tough one. I feel tonight everybody's picking the Undisputed Era to clean sweep and have them end the show with all the titles. Would not shock me, but I'm not going that route. I'm not going that route at all. I got Matt Riddle winning this match. I have Matt Riddle winning this match because there's a reason why. Matt Riddle wins this match tonight. And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen, what's going to lead to this at the end. Someone's getting kicked out in dispute tonight. Spoiler alert from my predictions. Not spoiler alert on the show because I don't know anything. I'm just predicting the show. I'm not. I don't have no insight. I wouldn't be sitting in my apartment right now. but yeah, I got Matt Riddle winning this match tonight. I'm trying to think what's the next match here. Well, we have the ladder match. Hold on 1 second. Drawing blanks on a podcast. Yeah, cause I said the ladder, the tag team match, the women's match, Matt Riddle. Oh, the North American title. I almost forgot. How am I gonna forget about this? Velveteen Dream will defend his North American title against Prince Pretty Paws himself, Tyler Breeze. I don't think they're going to put this belt back on Tyler Breeze. I think this is a match that... I feel there's going to be two title changes, but this is not going to be one of them. I got Velveteen Dream going over in this match. It's going to be a damn good one. Tyler Breeze's first match. Triple H did state that Tyler Breeze is back on NXT roster, so which is awesome. So, good for him. But yeah, I got... Velveteen Dream winning this match. It was pretty cool. They did the selfie thing, and then Tyler dropped him. So, kind of like, if they do 50-50 booking, Dream's probably going to go over. And then in the main event, I have Adam Cole taking on Johnny Gargano for the NXT title. This was tough. But I got Johnny Gargano keeping his title. I feel like he's going to drop it to somebody else. I think Adam Cole might get kicked out of Undisputed Era tonight. Something's going to happen with those guys at the end of this. Them standing on that ladder at the end of NXT this week just doesn't, like, I was okay. So they're there, they're all happy, shows a good uni. I could see Adam Cole at the end of it blaming all of them, and then Roderick and all of them jumping him and kicking him out. And then start having Adam Cole go on his own push. And then to kind of break up the Undisputed Era for a little bit. Teams break up. The show broke up. The show broke up for a little bit. The ex broke up for a little bit. When they come back together, it's awesome. So I got Cole. I got Johnny Gargano winning, keeping his NXT title because he needs a little bit longer reign. Maybe him dropping it next year. Maybe to Ciampa. I still think they have to fight again. And then I think Cole might get kicked out in the spear tonight. That's just my opinion. That's my prediction on that. So there's my prediction, guys. Thank you guys for listening to the podcast. We're going to try to do some cool stuff here going here in the future. I think I've been trying to experiment. This week has been a lot of me. I've been trying to do this podcast all week. Trying to think of the right things to do, how to put this podcast together. But I've also been experimenting on a couple things. I'm thinking about doing the Raw and SmackDown. I just fall asleep on Raw sometimes, man. It's so long and boring. I'm going to try to do Raw and SmackDown. Maybe do those live. Maybe go live and just, even if it's for like 15, 20 minutes, just talk about it and everything. And then do the same thing for TakeOver. Do the same thing for NXT and 205 and NXT UK. Get back in the swing of that, watching that show. And then on Saturdays, we're going to have a big, like, weekly news show. Not weekly, like, what happened in week of wrestling. Just something like we did today. But we had a little prediction show added on top of this also as well. So we'll maybe do something like that. Maybe on Friday. Maybe we'll bump it up to Fridays. If there is a show on the weekend. Because I know AEW is probably going to run their shows on Saturday. So we'll probably be doing something like that there. But again, guys, thank you guys for listening. Hope everybody enjoys TakeOver tonight and everything. You guys enjoy the rest of your weekend and have a great one. Peace.